Hello and welcome to episode 31 of AIRC, Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. If you are a new listener to this podcast, si estás escuchando por la primera vez, welcome, bienvenido. En este podcast intentamos mejorar tu inglés y hacerlo un poco más fácil. Hi Reza.
Hi Craig. How are you doing?
I'm very well this week. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How was your trip to the dentist this morning?
No, it's fine. Really, it's it was just a cap.
Ah.
Una corona?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our feedback this week is from Pearl from Mexico. And Pearl says, hello, Reza. Hello, Craig. I'm Pearl from Mexico. I love so much because I have learned a lot of new vocabulary. Now, the problem here is there's a missing object. I don't know if Pearl loves us, if she loves you, if she loves me, if she loves the podcast, if she loves... And I don't know. Missing pronoun.
Because love must have an object, right?
You must love something.
Or someone.
Or someone. Or a podcast. I'm sure she loves us.
Yeah.
So what
most young ladies do, don't they?
In your dreams. I love, maybe I love it so much. I love the podcast so much because I have learned a lot of new vocabulary with you. All your exercises have helped me lots. I'm excited listening to your podcast from Valencia. Pearl says listening too. Well done, Pearl. There's a
Good.
Big mistake that we've been emphasizing in recent podcasts. Remember your preposition with listening. So Pearl is correct here, listening to your podcast from Valencia, because I have been to Elche, and, well, I don't know if that place is close to you, but I really love Spain. Yeah, Elche's quite close. What do you reckon, 200 kilometres, less?
About that. It's in the province of Alicante, which is just south of Valencia.
It's not far. Yeah, I've been to Elche a couple of times.
In fact, it's a good place, although it's in Spain, to practice your English, because there are many, many English speakers there who live in the Costa Blanca.
Many giddies there.
Giddies, or a pair might say gringos.
Gringos, yeah.
A lot live near
Is Elche famous for anything?
Yes.
Palm trees.
Yeah. And La Dama d'Elche.
What's that?
The Lady of Elche. I'm not quite sure exactly what, but there's La Dama d'Elche. Check it out on internet, listeners.
Or maybe if somebody from Elche is listening, they can let us know what a Dama d'Elche actually is and what Elche is famous for apart from
El Misteri d'Elche. There's some night every once in a while where they have an event called El Misteri d'Elche.
Mm-hmm.
The mystery of Elche. It's so mysterious that I have no idea what it's about.
That's why it's a mystery. I was watching Kung Fu Panda yesterday. Have you seen Kung Fu Panda?
No.
Very good film, cartoon film, about a panda who knows Kung Fu. There's a lovely expression in the film, which is a quote taken from somewhere, and it's the past is history, the future's a mystery, but the present, but now is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice?
That's nice. I'm glad you've been learning profound things from Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, I love Kung Fu Panda. There's only one thing better than Kung Fu Panda.
Mickey Mouse.
Anyway, back to Elche. Back to Mexico. Pearl from Mexico finishes and says that Spain is a wonderful country with really friendly people. That's true. I send you a big hug. Un embrazo.
Thank you. A big hug
from this side of the world. Thank you. Thank you, Pearl. We send you two big hugs back to Mexico.
And we're sure that people in Mexico are lovely as well. I've never been. I don't think you have, Craig.
No, I haven't. No. I'd like to go.
Let's go to Mexico.
If we go, we can visit Pearl.
Yep, I'd like that.
Cecilia Serrano from Madrid and on Facebook says, what's the difference between fun and funny?
Ooh, fun and funny.
That's a classic.
Classic.
Over to you, Reza.
Well... Fun is simply used to describe things that you enjoy. If you enjoy it, it's entertaining, it's fun.
Divertido.
It gives pleasure. Divertido. Yeah. For example, I had a lot of fun at the party, or let's go to the beach, it'll be fun. But funny, what about the word funny then, Craig?
Well, that's divertido as well, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't say so. I would say funny is gracioso. For me, the word funny refers to humor. Humor. For example...
We've spoken about this before.
I think we have, yeah. A funny joke, it made me laugh. Ha ha ha, reírse.
A funny film.
It's funny, funny. Some people think Woody Allen's films are very funny. Muy gracioso. Mm. Other people say he's not funny. It's a matter of taste.
And funny can be extraño as well, can't it? It can be strange, unusual, peculiar.
That's a second odd meaning of funny, yeah. For example, he's a strange man. He's funny.
He's
that
bit,
would
he's
mean
a bit funny.
Es raro, not es gracioso.
Yeah.
Es raro.
That guy next door is a bit funny.
So how do you know if the word funny means gracioso or raro? Well, the context.
The context.
He tells lots of jokes. Cuenta muchas chistes. He's funny. Gracioso. But he's a strange man. He's funny. Raro.
Yeah.
Exactly. Depends on the context.
Moving on with grammar.
Okay. So we did in the last episode conditionals. I revised the first and second conditional, and we talked about the third conditional, which is to talk about the past. I'd like to do just one more thing about conditionals, something called the mixed conditional. What does that mean to you, Craig, the mixed conditional?
Well, I think it means mixed time, so mixed tense. For example, you would not have necessarily a hypothetical past. A different past, you could have some changing the past and having a present result. Is
okay.
That close?
That's it. Craig, if I were to tell you, I have a headache now. I have a headache. The Lord of la cabeza. Any idea why?
Maybe because you had 3 or 4 pints of beer in watching the football yesterday in the pub.
That's exactly right. Last night, I drank too much. So, if I hadn't drunk so much last night, I wouldn't have a headache now. That is a mixed conditional. Let me repeat it. Here comes the condition. If I hadn't drunk, it's past perfect, if I hadn't drunk so much last night, that's in the past. Now here comes the result. I wouldn't, that's would, plus base form of the verb, I wouldn't have a headache now. We're talking about the present. So the condition is about the past, but the result is about the present. And the grammar corresponds. So when we talk about the past, we use the past perfect. If I hadn't drunk, like in a third conditional.
The same as a third conditional.
But then the result, I wouldn't have a headache. I wouldn't have would plus the infinitive or the base form, infinitive without to, is talking about the present or future. That's right, because we're talking about the present result. It looks like a second conditional. So it's the condition of a third conditional with the result of a second conditional.
I've got another example.
Go ahead.
And this is true as well. I nearly got married when I was 25. I nearly got married when I was 25. If I had got married, I would probably have children now.
Right.
But I didn't get married, so I don't have children.
Right. Yeah. The important thing is something happened in the past, if you had got married, or didn't happen in the past, rather. So it can't be changed.
Mm-hmm.
You're speculating about a possible present result, but it's only speculation. It can't be reality because the condition happened in the past. So
the third conditional is imagining a different past with a different past result?
Exactly.
And the mixed conditional is imagining a different past with a present result?
Exactly, that's it. Here's another one. Talking about my headache again because I drank too much last night. I would feel fine now if I had drunk less last night.
You'd be richer now if you hadn't drunk so much.
That's right. The money it costs for those pints. So this time, listeners, have you noticed that I've changed the order? I began with the result and the second part was the condition. So I would feel fine now. Would plus infinitive without to. I would feel fine now. That's the present result. If I had drunk less last night. had drunk, past perfect, is the past consequence. So had drunk, past perfect, is for the past condition. So I began with the result and I ended with the condition. So the order can be first condition, then result, or first result, then condition. For any conditional sentence, first, second, third, or mixed.
And you contract again the had and the would as you would with the third conditional.
Yep, I could say, I'd feel fine now if I hadn't drunk.
If I hadn't, had not, if I hadn't drunk
so much last night, or if I had drunk less last night.
Yeah, or fewer pints.
Fewer pints. Craig, if you had acted differently in the past, would your life be different now?
In what respect?
Any respect.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. If I hadn't come to Spain, I wouldn't be so happy. Mm-hmm. If I had become a bank manager, I would probably be a lot richer.
That's for sure, yeah.
And less well-liked.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of money in podcasting, is there?
No, there isn't.
Okay, so Craig, we've been talking about, just to recap before we go on, because I haven't quite finished, we've been talking about past condition with a present result. However, here's where it gets interesting. A mixed conditional can be this. Here's an example. Craig, I went to a boys' secondary school from when I was 11 years old to 16, right?
Only boys?
Yep, only boys. That's a shame. No girls in the school. Yeah, it was a shame.
Good.
Now, if I were a girl, imagine, I'm not, but if I were a girl...
Victoria.
Victoria, for example. If I were a girl called Victoria, I wouldn't have gone to a boys' school because girls can't go to a boys' school, right?
Correct.
If I were a girl, I wouldn't have gone to a boys' school. Listeners, that's a mixed conditional, but it's not the same as the ones we've been talking about. Think about it. Here comes the condition with if. If I were a girl, that looks like a second conditional. If I were, or I could say if I was, you can look that up in episode 11. I talk about using was or were. If I were or was a girl, I'm speculating about the present being different. The present. So a present condition. So it looks like a second conditional.
So you can also say, if I had been born a girl,
yes,
which
but,
is speaking about the past.
Yes, but then it wouldn't be a mixed conditional.
Okay.
But we're talking about mixed, that would just be a third conditional. If I were a girl or if I were a woman now, I wouldn't have gone to a boys' school in the past. So here it's the condition is present and the result is past.
I understand.
Before we were talking about a past condition with a present result. But now in this one, if I were a girl, I wouldn't have gone to a boys' school in the past. This time I'm talking about a present condition with a past result.
So let's try to think of another example with that idea.
Very easy. I wouldn't have drunk so much yesterday if I were a sensible person. But the reality is, I'm not a sensible person.
And is it
so
always,
I did drink a lot yesterday.
And is it always with the verb to be, like you said,
No. It's very common with the verb to be, but
If I were rich.
It's very common with the verb to be, but it doesn't have to be the verb to be. Let's see. I wouldn't have drunk so much yesterday if I behaved better, for example. But in reality, now I don't behave very well, do I?
I see.
So it doesn't have to be the verb to be, no. But the verb to be is very common in a mixed conditional.
Can I throw the first half of a mixed conditional sentence at you and get you to finish it?
Go ahead.
Reza, yesterday evening, I took some ribs. Costillas.
Yeah.
I took some ribs out of the freezer. So I took some ribs out of the freezer last night. How would you make that a conditional sentence?
Well, I can't include your sentence in mine because there's no if. There's no.
No,
but you said you were going to give me half of a sentence.
How would you make that into a conditional sentence?
Okay, sorry, right. Can you repeat your situation?
I took some ribs out of the freezer last night.
Okay. If you hadn't taken the ribs out of the freezer last night, they wouldn't be ready to eat now.
And we wouldn't have had any lunch, which That's is right. third conditional.
So we got a mixed and we got a third all mixed up together and we're going crazy.
Yeah.
Well, basically then, just to recap, a mixed conditional can be either a past condition with a present result, or it can be a present condition with a past result. In either case, what you're doing is mixing the grammar of a second and a third conditional.
That's clear.
And it can be either the second conditional or third conditional in the condition, or it can be either the second or the third conditional in the result. Either way. A-B-B-A, so to speak. Doesn't matter.
Okay. And tell me, Reza, how could our listeners use expressions such as if only and wish?
Well, these expressions are very closely related to the idea of a third or mixed conditional. For example, if I said to you, I wish I hadn't drunk so much yesterday. I was stupid. Or if only I hadn't drunk so much yesterday. I'm speculating about how things could have been different. So, just like a third conditional or a mixed conditional, I wish and if only often are used to express regret.
Regret about past events.
Lamentarse de algo, to regret.
I wish I had studied more at school.
Yeah.
If only I had gone to university.
Yeah. But the thing is, now, one important thing to note is that if only or I wish, they're used in a similar way to third or mixed conditionals, but they are not complete conditional sentences.
Mm-hmm.
I say to you, if only or I wish I hadn't drunk so much yesterday. Full stop. There's no condition and no result. It's just that. It's just expressing a wish.
Isn't it a bit like ojalá plus subjuntivo?
That's what it is. I wish I hadn't drunk so much yesterday. Ojalá no hubiera bebido tanto ayer.
Mm-hmm.
Ojalá.
If only I had more money.
Ojalá tuviera más dinero. Nah, you're talking about the present. So the grammar with if only and I wish are similar to the grammar we use with conditional sentences. In other words, if you want to talk about a past situation, similar to a third conditional, you must use past perfect. If only I hadn't drunk so much last night. I hadn't drunk. It's past perfect. For if only or I wish, meaning is the same. Ojalá. But if you want to talk about a present situation, then, Craig, what verb tense do you use to talk about a present situation that you wish to be different?
I wish, well, you'd still use the past simple.
Yes.
Speaking about the present.
But why do you say the word still? Because before I didn't use the past simple. I used the past perfect.
Okay.
They're different.
I'm sorry.
They're not the same.
I haven't been listening. If you're speaking about the present and you're using I wish and I only, you would use the past simple, which is kind of like the subjuntivo in Spanish.
Yeah.
So you'd say, I wish I had more money, not I wish I have.
I were sensible. Ojalá fuera sensato. By the way, sensible is not sensible. Typical
sensato.
Spanish mistake. It's sensato.
Sensato.
I wish I were sensible. Then maybe I wouldn't drink so much.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I were. Or I wish I was.
I wish I were a rich man.
Fiddler on the roof.
Long I live.
So you use the past.
If I were a wealthy man. Si hubiera? No.
Si fuera.
Si fuera, sorry. Si fuera un hombre rico.
So it's very similar to Spanish. In Spanish, you use the imperfecto de subjuntivo. Toma.
Toma.
Si yo fuera. And in English, we also use a past tense, but we're just simple in English. Let's call it past simple to talk about the present. But if you wish for a different past, then you got to use the past perfect. Just like Spanish, you say, if only I hadn't drunk so much last night, ojalá no hubiera bebido tanto anoche.
Exactly.
Craig, I wish I had more money, but I'm just a poor teacher for now, like you. If only I'd listened to my dad's advice not to trust pretty women. But I didn't. And they fooled me. in the past.
Have you been fooled by a femme fatale in the
past? One or two.
I've been there. If only I had known.
Oh, that's a common way of expressing regret, isn't it? If only I had known. Or if only I'd listened to someone's advice.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Craig, do you have any present or past regrets that you think about a lot?
I don't like to look back and regret things, but I think I wish I hadn't hurt people that were close to me in the past. I regret doing that. I wish I hadn't emotionally hurt people. So that's the only thing I'd want to change. I wouldn't want to change any.
And what about a present decisions thing that you would change?
A
present situation.
Oh, I tell you, I wish I had an extra room in this flat because I've got some guests coming next week, and unfortunately they have to stay in a separate apartment because I don't have enough room to put them up, which is a phrasal verb meaning to let them stay in my house, to give them a bed. So if I had a bigger flat, they could stay with me. So I wish I had more room in my flat. What Great. About you? Have you got any regrets or things you would like to change about the present?
I just go back to what I said earlier. If only I didn't drink too much.
Yeah, I don't think you don't. You don't drink. Yeah. You don't drink a lot for an Irishman. For yeah. a Northern Irishman.
Yeah, that's true. Another thing, Craig. If only we had more time, but we don't. Time is limited, so I better pass the microphone back to you.
Thank you very much, my good friend. Moving on to Vocabulary Corner, and I have a few more conversation expressions that we started doing last week where I would say some questions, ask you some questions. Reza, try to think of different replies that you could make to these questions. What would you like to drink?
A pint of Guinness and a triple whiskey chaser, please, Craig.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold your horses.
Oh, sorry. You see, if only I didn't drink so much.
So what would you like to drink? You could say...
a nice cup of tea, please.
A nice cup of tea. Nothing at the moment. Thank you.
I'm fine, thanks.
Mine's a whiskey. That's a popular...
Mine's a whatever. As in mine is.
Yeah. Yep. Mine's a glass of beer. What about, is there a bank near here?
There's one in the Cabanyal, yeah, quite near here, isn't there? Yes, there's one near here.
Yes, there's one near here.
Or, no, I'm afraid it's quite far away, could be another answer.
I'm sorry, I'm not from around here.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
What seems to be the trouble? That would probably be at the doctor's. What seems to be the trouble? Mm-hmm. What would you say to that?
I would say, yeah, it's my liver.
It's
mi hígado.
It's mi hígado.
And he would say, well, stop drinking so much. No, what seems to be the trouble? Well, I guess if you go into the doctor, you're going to have something to say.
A particular thing.
But if somebody just says in general, what's the trouble, but you don't want to make a fuss, sometimes you say, oh, nothing, I'm all right, or nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
If you don't want to cause any problems.
And if you went to the doctor, you'd have to obviously check your vocabulary. If you didn't know, you could say, I have a pain, que me duele. I have a pain in my leg, I have a pain in my arm. Ache is very common, earache, backache, toothache, etc.
What would you say an ache is something specific? Are there any types of pains which are not aches?
I think ache is a molestia more, and pain is more...
What's dolor, pain? Un dolor.
Dolor, un dolor.
But is ache not dolor as well? Headache, dolor de cabeza.
Yeah, that's true. So what is the difference?
Well, I've always thought, I don't know what it is in Spanish. No, well, maybe I do. Let's see. An ache is something which is not so intense, mm-hmm. but is more permanent or more continuous. Like a headache, it doesn't last for just 1 minute. It normally lasts for a few hours or perhaps even days if you're unlucky.
But pain can be continuous.
It can be as well, but it can also be short. If someone punched you in the nose,
it
would be very painful, but perhaps only for 10 minutes. Then after that, you'd be okay. So that's not an ache. An ache is a type of pain which lasts for a long time, as far as I can see.
And it tends to go as a compound noun with like earache, backache, mm-hmm. etc. Headache.
But not always.
But not always. Yeah.
You can say, I have an ache in my thigh, for example. You wouldn't say, thigh ache is not common. There are certain body parts that are common, but people don't say, for example, thigh ache. No. They would say, I have an ache in my thigh, perhaps.
Yes. Or my thigh hurts. Yeah. Because pain is a noun, and you said before painful, which is an adjective. Mm-hmm. It's painful, doctor. It's very painful. But the verb is to hurt.
Yeah.
So my back hurts, my leg hurts, my foot hurts, my arm hurts. Mm-hmm. So if I said to you, for example, where does it hurt? What would you say?
Well, any body part in my back or my arm, or you could say it hurts here and point to where it hurts.
That's a good idea. Another expression, how will you be paying?
In cash, by credit card, by debit card.
So I notice you use a different preposition there. Yes. In cash.
Yes.
But by credit card, mm-hmm. by bank transfer.
Yeah. Although often people say with a credit card as well, or with.
That's true. With a credit card.
Transfer.
Mm-hmm. Have you been here before? This is a very common opening expression. If you want to start a conversation in English with a stranger, to practice your English, or you see an attractive woman or man in a pub or a bar or a restaurant, and you'd like to start speaking with them. Have you been here before? What would you say, Reza?
No, it's my first time. Mm-hmm. Or, yes, I come here often.
I come here often. Yeah. And you? So immediately reverse, throw back the question to the other person to get the conversation going.
But, by the way, Craig, would you ever start a conversation with this line, do you come here often?
Maybe I would in Spanish, because it doesn't sound so corny. How do you say corny? So
cutre.
Cutre?
Yeah.
Yeah, in English it's obvious que estás intentando ligar. They're trying to pick someone up.
It's a classic chat-up line.
A chat-up line or a pick-up line, yeah.
Do you come here often?
Do you come here often?
Yeah, you don't care at all if the person comes here often as well. It's like a sign that you're trying to chat them up.
Yeah, I might say it as a second or third expression, a second or third line. So I could say, hello, I'm Craig. Nice to meet you. And then I'd say, oh, have you been here before? Have you come here before? Maybe. But not as the first line, no. Finally, one more. You're in a restaurant, for example, and the waiter comes to your table and says to you, sir or madam, how would you like it cooked?
I presume they're asking about meat. So you could have it rare or medium or well done, or even medium rare or very well done.
So let's translate that for our listeners. So rare would be poco hecho.
Yep.
Medium would be hecho.
Hecho, medio.
Medio hecho?
No, medio hecho, no. Hecho, I think.
Hecho. Medium rare would be medio poco hecho.
Entre poco hecho y hecho.
And well done,
muy hecho.
Muy hecho.
Yeah.
Or as they say.
Not bien hecho. Muy hecho.
No, muy hecho.
Although well done can also mean in different contexts, bien hecho. For example, if you said to me, oh, I passed my exam, I would say, well done.
Well
which
done.
Means bien hecho.
Bien hecho.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
But here it means muy hecho when you're talking about food.
Moving on to our idiom section. Do you have any idioms for us this week, Reza?
Don't rock the boat, Craig.
Don't rock the boat.
Yeah, I believe you're going to talk about boats, so I would be...
I have an idiom. That's a coincidence. I have an idiom with a boat in it.
It's not really a coincidence. I read yours first.
Oh, you've been spying on my notes.
I've been spying, and then I made up my own. Don't rock the boat means don't cause any trouble, don't change the status quo, don't look for problems. Don't rock the boat.
You could also say don't make waves, no haces olas,
yes.
Which is very similar... seafaring idiom of the sea.
Mm-hmm. You've got a couple about boats, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a couple. One, the first one is all in the same boat, which means estamos todos en la misma situación, or en este caso en el mismo barco, estamos todos en la misma situación. The economy is bad at the moment. The health service and education is suffering. There's no money, but we're all in the same boat.
We all suffer together, equally.
Except if you're very, very rich, and then you're in a different boat with a waiter and a and a comfortable bed. But we're all in the same boat. And another idiom with a boat is one I really like, whatever floats your boat. which I keep trying to use, but I don't use it often as I'd like. It kind of means, lo que te gusta está bien. Whatever you feel like doing, or whatever you feel like is good, whatever you feel is good for you. So, for example, if you say to me, Reza, what do you want to do tonight? And I really don't care, I'd say, well, whatever floats your boat, man. Whatever you feel like doing. Lo que te gusta está bien. Whatever floats your boat. Lo que flota a tu barco. Any more?
Yes, since we've been talking about going to the doctors, I want to use a few body parts. A smart arse, or a smart ass, as Americans would say. How would you describe that in your own words? Somebody, he's a smart arse.
Somebody who's too clever for their own good. Somebody who's full of themselves and they think they are more intelligent than they actually are. Más listo que son.
Yeah. Un listillo.
Listillo, yeah. Is it?
Okay. Listillo.
Listillo, I didn't
a
know.
A smart arse, or an American smart ass.
A smart ass.
And another one, pain in the neck. Although you can also say a pain in the arse, or a pain in the ass, it's a little bit more vulgar. Same thing, pain in the neck, pain in the arse, is a person who's annoying. Well, it can be a person or it can be an activity as well, which is annoying. For example, sometimes when we're recording the podcast, we hear noises coming from your neighbors upstairs and we have to stop and record again. The dog, it's a pain in the ass.
The dog barking, the buses going by outside, all pains in the ass. Yeah.
Or a person that you just find annoying, they won't leave you alone. That person is a pain in the neck or a pain in the arse. Un pesado.
Do you know what? Is nuisance pesado? As he's a nuisance or it's a nuisance. That's very similar.
Yeah, but I think pesado, like English, though, it's quite derogatory. So I think pain in the neck is the best way of translating it. Pesao. Okay. Nobody likes un pesao.
Yeah, it's a pain
Nobody
in the neck.
Nobody likes a pain in the neck or pain in the ass.
Right.
You got any more?
I have one final one. Another one of my favourites. It's not really an idiom as such, but it's an Americanism. That's how I roll. Roll is rodar, I think.
Yeah, well, that is an idiom, yeah. Unless you're literally rolling down the street.
That's right. Okay. It is an idiom. That's how I roll. It means soy así. Es como soy. Soy como soy. Es lo que me gusta hacer. For example, I like to be polite. I like to give people the respect they deserve. That's how I roll. I like to get up late. I like to have a long breakfast. That's how I roll.
It's your style. It's my way of doing things.
Exactly. It's my style. That's how I roll. Yo ando así. Any more, Reza?
That's me done, I'm afraid.
Okay, so that's how we roll. So with our time running out, we have to say goodbye. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for being with us. And thank you to Reza. We will see you next episode on Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Thank you, Reza.
Thanks, Craig. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later, licensed by Creative Commons under a Buy NC license at ccmixter.org.